Hello, my name is Zoe Steny Hansen. I am a fourth year PhD student at the University of Washington. And now you're gonna hear me talk a little bit about my COSINE 2023 poster on neural manifolds underlying naturalistic human movements and electrocorticography. This was joint work done with Rajesh Rao and Brink Brenton, both also at the University of Washington. So there has been increasing interest in the recent years of low dimensional neural manifolds to analyze neural population data. And if you've been at COSINE this year, you've definitely already heard people talking about these low-dimensional manifolds at some point or another. And so a lot of this work coming out of all these very great and amazing labs has been focused on manifolds during experimentally driven movement tasks, and typically in non-human primates. So maybe a monkey, you know, reaching for some item, or, you know, doing some other sort of experimentally driven activity. Recent work from Natraj et al. Has also shown that these neural manifolds exist in human ECOG data, and found specifically that the manifolds from different types of hand gesture movements were aligned across these different manifolds. However, it still remains to be known whether or not these low-dimensional neural manifolds persist during natural movements, or if they just end up being a byproduct of the simple experimental tasks faced by the participants. So in this poster, we ask the question, do low-dimensional neural manifolds exist during natural movements? And our approach to answering this is by analyzing the neural manifolds from human ECOG data recorded during free-form natural movements and we analyze this using principal components analysis and principal angles analysis. So if you don't want to listen for too long, I'll give the brief TLDR. What we do is we analyze neural manifolds in human electrocorticography data during different types of natural reaching events using principal angles analysis. And what we find is that these manifolds across movements, across days, and across participants are all more aligned than chance. And so these results provide initial evidence for the existence of neural manifolds for the control of naturalistic movement. And so if you want to hear a little bit more, I'll dive into the methods and results a bit further. So in the second column, we have the methods, and at the top, we see some examples of left, right, up, and down movements done by the participant while they are in their hospital bed. And so we can see that maybe he's, you know, itching his armpit, or, you know, calling out for the nurse. And so all of these are just self-driven movements that are happening in this case. And so we collect this type of data from 12 different participants over the course of their 5-day stay in epilepsy monitoring at Harborview Medical. And previous work within the Brenton Lab had used deep lab cut to get the joint poses from the participants from the video data. So you can see on here, there's some pose estimation going on, and that was done in previous work with deep lab cut. So next, to actually do the principal angle analysis, first we have to consider that the electrodes for each different participant are placed based on clinical need. And so that means, as you can see in these three examples, that the electrodes are covering a wide variety of brain areas, not necessarily all the same. And so in order to kind of get all of the participants onto a common space that we can start to do these analyses, we weight averaged the electrodes onto different regions of interest. And this was a technique previously used in the Brenton Lab for different work. After processing all the data and putting it into this ROI space, we then filter down the data to low-frequency oscillations from 0.5 to 4 hertz. And that was because this band has been shown to have correlations to movement in previous work. And so we also filter down to that band, and then we run PCA on the filtered ROI data. And so what we can see here in this figure with the two planes, we can say maybe, you know, the pink plane is data from participant EC01, and maybe the orange plane is data from participant EC12. And so what we can do is compare the principal angles, as shown here on the figure, between the two manifold spaces to get a sense of how closely aligned those manifolds are. So in this particular example, the manifolds are somewhat far apart, but if they had a smaller principal angle between them, then we would know that these manifolds are much more aligned in the low-dimensional subspace. And so this data covers a wide variety of dimensions. First, we have the movement dimension, which in this case we've broken up into left, right, up, and down type of reaches. And then we also have this data over the course of 5 different days and also over 12 participants. So as you'll see in the results section, we kind of break down the different analyses based on these 3 different dimensions of the data. For these results, we also created a neural dissimilarity metric, which uses the results from principal angles analysis and sums all of the principal angles together. And so if we have small principal angles, then the total of that sum will be much smaller, indicating higher similarity. But if we have high principal angles, then we would have greater neural dissimilarity in that case. So again, we sum all of the angles and then normalize to create our neural dissimilarity metric, which we will see in the results. We also, to verify the significance of these alignments, we generate a distribution of null data, and that null data is generated using tensor maximum entropy, and this was previously used in the Natraj paper to also do a null comparison, and this method works by generating data that uses the same first and second order moments as the original ECOG data that you feed in. So it should have similar statistics to the ECOG data, but it will tell us whether or not these manifolds that we see should be as aligned as they might end up being. So looking at the third column, we can start to get into some of the results, and what we see here is that first, we look at cross different movements, what these manifold spaces look like. So for the 4 different sets of movements, left, right, up, and down, we do pairwise comparisons of those movements within a given participant and on just one day's worth of data. And what we find is that the manifolds of these movements all occupy a low dimensional subspace, with 80% of the variance of the data accounted for by just 9 PCs. And we find that the average neural dissimilarity across all of the movements for all of the participants was around 0.17. And so for context, the 1% significance level from the null data generated with TME was around 0.79. So the average for the cross-movement manifolds within participants was much, much lower than the 1% significance level. So it seems that, you know, one participant reaching their arm to the left or reaching their arm to the right is falling in a similar manifold space regardless of the type of movement. They're both in a similar manifold space. Next, we were also curious, because we have all these 12 participants, do these manifolds also align between different participants? And that would be especially interesting if we want to ever do some sort of BCI alignment between participants moving forward. So here we compare between the same types of movements what the manifolds look like for different participants. So if we have participant 1 doing an upward reaching movement, we also look at the upward reaching movements of participants 12, 11, etc. And what we find is that the average neural dissimilarity for this cross participant manifold was around 0.43. And so the significance level is still around 0.79, and so we see that these cross-participant manifolds are much more aligned than chance, but again, not as aligned as the cross-movement manifolds that we saw before. So it's intriguing that, yes, these different participants doing the same types of movements are still aligned, but not as aligned as they are to themselves for different types of movements. We also found that participants with lower electrode overlap, as defined by where the electrodes were placed for their clinical need, show higher neural dissimilarity if they have less electrode overlap between each other. So if we go back to the electrode plots that we have in the method section, we can see that maybe EC01 and EC06 have some overlap in the motor cortex and in the parietal lobe, but not that much overlap, but maybe between EC06 and EC12, we can see that there's much more overlap. And thus, if there's more overlap, then your neural dissimilarity tends to be lower. And we found that that correlation has an R-squared of negative 0.15 or 5.1. And so next, we look at cross-days manifolds. Since we have this data across 5 different days in their hospital stay, we were also curious of whether or not the same type of movement ends up sort of drifting over the course of these different days. And so in this plot, we plot the day lag, which tells us how many days have passed in between these different movement data that we're looking at. And what we find is that there is not significant neural drift going on even across 4 days of lag. And so this and these neural dissimilarity values were around 0.16, and so kind of on par with the cross movement manifolds that we saw before. And so we can see that even over the course of their 5-day hospital stay, the manifold subspace that is being used to, you know, grab for your cup or grab the remote stays around the same over the course of the week. And so lastly, these results provide some initial evidence for the existence of neural manifolds in the control of naturalistic movements, but future work has much more to process in terms of understanding further how this actually relates to movement control. So further analyses could look at the dynamic trajectories within these manifolds and could reveal interesting insights into further into natural movement control, and may end up being useful for understanding how to align these manifolds between different participants, potentially for BCI use in the future. Future work may also want to explore nonlinear methods. So far, this work just uses PCA, which is a pretty straightforward way of uncovering these manifold spaces. But given that this is naturalistic movement, it may be more reasonable to expect that these manifolds, these low-dimensional manifolds, are existing in nonlinear spaces. And lastly, future work may want to explore a more fine-grained analysis of the different types of movements, looking at the whole 360 span of reaches rather than breaking up these categories into left, right, up, and down types of movements. Lastly, I just want to thank the NSF-GRFP for supporting my work on this research, and also to Rajesh Rao and Bing Brunton for their support so far on all of this work. All right, thanks for listening.